Hey, you're listening to Blindsight. Let's go. Mental health isn't something to take lightly. It's time to fight. It's time to thrive. Let's do this.
Hello there, and welcome to Blindsight. This is your co-host, Bill Lundgren. With us, of course, is Jonathan Price, the other co-host, and we have a guest today, Raquel Perez, who's a therapist and has an interesting story to tell. And it's going to be interesting, but it's going to be about trauma. But let's face it, you know, one of the things we need to do in looking at trauma is also kind of say, not let it weigh us down. And it's something we have to deal with, something we have to talk about. And I'm glad that we're doing that today. Raquel Welsh, welcome to Blindsight.
Thank you, Bill. It's very nice to be here with you and Jonathan today.
Good. And Jonathan, you're on the line.
Well, I'm trying to be. My brain is still trying to get over the fact that we're in 2025 now, and I still am writing 24 on emails and documents, and I'm not used to it being this new year yet. So
I will continue to write 24 until about June, and then it finally sinks in.
Yes. And so I have to preemptively say, okay, this is January, and I have to say it out loud, January of 2025. And if I don't, I'm going to be in a whole world of trouble. But no, it's good. How was your holidays?
Which one are you talking to?
All of them. All of them. Yeah. I mean, it's been a while since we've recorded, yeah. And we've had Christmas, we've had New Year's, we've had all these amazing discussions, and
well, yeah. One of the things that I really am surprised at, I was able to get the Christmas letter out before Valentine's Day.
Okay.
Which is the first time. It's always the last thing to get done. And,
that's right.
And it's like, and during the holidays, as usual, it's just busy. And, you know, then things slip by and people appreciate getting in Valentine's Day because they're not reading other letters.
Well, then they're thrown off because they're like, wait a minute, is this preemptively Christmas or is this post-Christmas? We're messed up, which is going to cause a lot of trauma. And so that's where Raquel comes in and she's like, oh, you got a letter from Bill on Valentine's Day. Don't worry, I can help with that. Right. Raquel, I'm excited to have you on the show. Can you kind of tell us a little bit about your background and how are your holidays? And just we'll start there.
Yeah, thank you, Jonathan. Thank you for asking. My holidays were absolutely amazing. I love this time of year. It's my favorite time of year. Now it's over, sadly, but I got to spend it with the family, and that's my favorite. That's just my favorite part of all of the holidays. So thank you for asking. A little bit about me. So as you have said, my name is Raquel Perez. I also go by Raquel. I am a licensed professional counselor in the state of Colorado, and I have a small private practice here by the name of Intima Couples and Sex Therapy. I do work with individuals mostly when it comes to couples or relationship therapy, sex therapy, ketamine-assisted therapy, and also therapy for depression and anxiety. Have kind of a, you know, my background was in health education. I worked for Denver Health, which is a big safety net hospital here in Denver, in the metro Denver area. And I started off there kind of in being introduced to kind of like sex therapy, but it was more toward the medical model. So like really talking to people about birth control and family planning and those types of things. And that got me to really want to dive a little bit deeper with individuals about some of the stuff. And so that's when I decided to pursue my education and get the credentialings that I needed in order to do that.
That's very cool.
Congratulations on getting the credentials. I'm an LPC also. So
thank you.
And it's not easy to get. What I really appreciate from what I heard was your background in sex therapy and also in terms of all the variety of things that you mentioned, because too often therapists get compartmentalized, and you know, if somebody comes in with a problem in the relationship, then we have to find somebody that we farm out when it may not even be necessary. It's if somebody, you know, like you, knows the basics and are comfortable talking about it, because a lot of therapists are not. As soon as you mention sex, they start to get very nervous. if they're not certified and trained in it, because they know it's a hot button issue.
Absolutely. I really appreciate that, because I often say, you know, I know oftentimes we will see individuals come in requesting services for something, and as we start to work with them, we find that the work takes us in a different direction. Right. And so, yeah, definitely being prepared for all of those things. I often also say, like, it's easy for us to separate sex into like its own thing. Like if it's happening outside of our body, like it has nothing to do with everything else that's happening in our body. And it's just not the case. It's that it's happening in our bodies. And so everything that is in our body is going to affect the way that we are with our sexual lives as well.
And it also, you know, people, this is one thing I've learned in the 45 years I've been doing counseling, is that every individual that comes in has a mixture of things that are affecting, the reason that brought them in. And to try to just take a handle on one and leave out all the others is doing them a disservice.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. 100%. I agree. I agree with that. I think it serves us well when we are working with individuals to really take that holistic approach and see that entire person that's sitting in front of us, and not just segment, a little piece of what their concern is at that moment.
Well, also in terms of trauma, it's so varied. There are so many different ways that one can become traumatized or have the effect of trauma. And this is where having a variety to choose from can help us, a tremendous amount.
I often describe myself as having a very heavy trauma lens when I work with individuals. Because of that, I truly believe that it is impossible to have a human experience without it, right? That where trauma doesn't touch it at all. Whether it's chronic trauma that we're kind of like dealing with all the time, or if it's like an isolated event, but it has touched all of us, or even vicarious trauma, right? But it has touched all of us in some way, shape, or form.
You beat me to it, because I was going to give you a true or false statement. Trauma has no effect on our mental health or well-being, which is clearly false. But in relation to that, you know, there aren't many therapists or many people who really believe that trauma is the root of, I guess, really anything that is going on, or most things that are going on in our lives. Kind of walk us through that realization and how trauma affects every single one of our mental well-beings, from relationships to sex and intimacy to grief to all of that stuff. How is it interconnected?
Yeah, thank you for asking. This is a belief that I hold true to my heart, and it's something that I have believed for a very long time. And unfortunately, as you were saying, Jonathan, there wasn't a lot of literature to, I guess, uphold what I believed to be true, yeah. That when you peel it all the way back, at underneath all of that lies trauma, it lies hurt, lies pain. Until I became familiar with an author who is my absolute favorite author. His name is Gabor Mate. And his latest book of The Myth of Normal has been a wonderful read. And he talks a lot about this. And so it was... It validated what I had believed to be true, that when you peel back all of the layers, whatever it is that we are diagnosed with, whether those diagnoses are depression or anxiety or bipolar disorder or schizophrenia, right? It doesn't matter. But when you peel all of that back, underneath it lies trauma, hurt, and pain.
Yeah.
Obviously, hurt and pain, our body is going to protect us against that. It's a survival mechanism. It has to protect us against that. And so then we start to see all of these symptoms, right? And that, in my opinion, at least, is where we get the diagnosis from. But if we could peel it all the way back, of course, that's challenging, right? Because our body has spent its entire life protecting us from that pain, from that hurt, from that trauma that's underneath.
Last week, we had the conversation, Bill and I, about the differences between like challenge and resistance. And when I think of trauma in that sense, and we're faced with a challenge and we don't want to overcome it, or we run up against a resistance where it's something that I shouldn't be doing or I should be doing. When trauma affects kind of, it becomes a challenge in our lives and a resistance. Where would you start in that healing journey? I probably identifying it, but trying to overcome whether it's a challenge or a resistance, this particular trauma that somebody might be facing?
I think it's a very, very tricky. And one thing that's coming to my mind is an individual that I worked with, that I continue to work with and do wonderful work with them. But they made it a point to point out in our work when it felt like they were being pushed a little bit too hard. Because while they would say, yes, Raquel, you're right, I can understand logically or cognitively what you are saying, my body is pushing back.
Yeah.
And that doesn't feel good. So it needs to be at my time when I say, that's the path that I need to go down. Because again, that protection is so incredibly impenetrable, as it should be, right? Because it's protecting us, that it's going to resist us. It's going to pull us back from that work. And so it takes a lot of grace, I would say, sitting with grace with another individual and sitting in grace with yourself, understanding that sometimes we can stretch and sometimes we just can't. It's impossible for us to go there. I don't know if that answers your question, but that's what was coming up for me as you were saying that.
Yeah, because when we have this resistance versus challenge, we're not really sure if we're being challenged to do something where we're actually prepared to move forward with something, or that we are resisting change, or we have this resistance in our lives. And so that's perfect.
Well, sometimes we are so used to dealing with a particular trauma, we put a little bit of, a little bandage around it to keep it manageable. But the idea of giving up that trauma is just because it's be so new. And so, like we've always had that trauma, how do we manage? How do we, you know, if we give this up, then, you know, we're going into a transition that we may be even more scared of, because that trauma that we rely on to, you know, make us feel whatever we feel, you know, might be gone. And that can be, in and of itself, change. Even good change can be scary. And that's the job as therapists. That's what we always face. You know, you're uncomfortable with this. Do you want to have a more comfortable life? And they've never been asked that. And they say, well, what is that going to be like? And then that, you know, when all brings up all kinds of questions. And I think that, you know, that's where some of the resistance comes from, even though you would say logically, why are they resisting giving that up?
A little bit also what's coming to my mind as I hear you, Bill, talk about that is, you know, how our bodies, I often say, are going to choose what's familiar, even if that familiarity is not working in our benefit or isn't very useful for us, then the unfamiliar, which may be more beneficial, but we don't know what that looks like. That's exactly. Unfamiliar is scary.
Well, you know, I have in my own life, one of the big family traumas was the sudden death of my father when I was 8 years old. And yet, it took me 30, 40 years before I got into, doing some training. And the whole issue of his death came up. And somehow, with the work I did, that I realized that what I needed to give up was the very thing I could not look at because it was so ridiculous. That is, I felt like I was abandoned by him. The trauma wasn't, you know, his death. The trauma for me was that he abandoned me, even though logically he didn't. Do you follow what I'm saying? In other words, I was looking in the wrong area. And that was the gift that was given to me by this training group. She said, look at thee. And then I was able to give it up. But that's where it gets real confusing to determine what the trauma is.
Yeah. And speaking of identifying what that trauma is, how does, when people are trying to figure out if they have trauma, or because there are instances where people will have these quote unquote blind spots in their past where they're like, I know something happened between here, but I've blocked out this period of time. I know that something happened, but I just can't remember. What are some ways, either physically, emotionally, or mentally, that might indicate you have some sort of trauma in your body or your system that you may not be aware of?
That's a good question. I would say, gosh, I mean, the stuff that was coming up for me originally when you were talking, Jonathan, is more kind of following that intuitive space. I also believe much in that intuitive space, because intuition isn't magic, right? It's our body processing information, kind of pairing it up against what it already knows, what it's experienced, and kind of spitting out how we should proceed. And so, so I think like following that intuitive space, following that intuition, wherever it is leading us, again, being careful, right? Because I think that the antidote to all of this is safety. Once our body feels that safety, knows that it is safe, it can continue to follow the path wherever it leads, even if that leads into trauma. Because I think that many of us who have experienced trauma, whether it's in our awareness or isn't, eventually our intuition will lead us there. But again, going back to what Bill was saying, like that unfamiliar place is so incredibly scary that it's hard to follow it there.
Yeah. And, you know, I've talked on the show a couple of times that my personal trauma and the trauma that reshaped my life was abuse that I had suffered in third grade when it came to a teacher and my school and just some of the stuff around that. But what I didn't know and what I was unaware of until 2018 was that that trauma affected my relationship with my dad, because his discipline style was similar to that of my teacher's. And while his discipline was very loving and very caring, in my, you know, 8-year-old little body was, and even as an adult, was seen as abusive, or, and it kind of created this rift. And it finally got to the point where I was like, oh my gosh, this is a light bulb moment. Mm-hmm. I don't hate my dad. I don't dislike my dad even, but there's this rift and now I understand what it is. And so I got to sit down with him at lunch one time and I just laid it all out. I was like, Dad, I am so angry at you, but here's the reason why. And you have nothing to do with it. Mm-hmm. And I want you to know that I love you and I forgive you, and that you had you didn't do anything wrong. It was this trauma that I had carried that you had actually helped me through, because a couple of, like, I think it was in the beginning of December, we did an episode where we talked about those traumas and unleashing the little kid inside of us to welcome them back into our mm-hmm. lives. And that relationship and that conversation really allowed us to really heal our relationship, and our path moving forward. And when you were talking, I was thinking, you're talking about that safety aspect. And I immediately thought of the question, would it be fair to say that safety is the antidote to trauma? Or is there be another kind of word or thing that would be anti-trauma?
I actually love that phrasing. And I think that I would agree with that yes, safety is the antidote to trauma. Because without safety, our body can't go there. It just can't. Yeah. It's unbearable. It's intolerable.
And this is one of the issues for those who have blocked out sexual abuse, for example, which is mm-hmm. much higher for people with physical disabilities than those who don't have disabilities. They lock it up because mm-hmm. they wonder if they cause it, you know, all kinds of reasons. And to be able to have the safety to be able to say that something was done to me and to be able to talk with the therapist is so enormously important, but so difficult. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's part of the job is, as you say, to create that safety where we can talk about things like the example I gave, where to admit that I was angry rather than sad that I lost my dad. I was looking at the wrong emotion, and mm-hmm. it gave me permission then to access all my emotions. And that it's that safety that we as therapists have to create for our clients.
Absolutely. One of the things that's coming to my mind as we're continuing this conversation is how it's almost like these three things going together, and that is safety, readiness, and curiosity. And that yes. will kind of get us there. That's because without any of those, we can't get there.
That's a good way to phrase it. I like that.
One of my favorite words is curiosity, because without curiosity, you can't ever grow. Mm-hmm. And curiosity can be a good thing, but it can also be a very dangerous thing. And it's only by asking the questions, you know, I love the questions who, what, when, where, and why, because they're curious questions by nature. Mm-hmm. And you're able to explore a lot of things just with the power of a thought. And you know, I think of different types of trauma. You have the physical trauma to yourself, the emotional trauma of maybe an emotionally abusive relationship, or the sexual trauma that you often help people through, or intimacy trauma, or any other types of trauma. When people come to your office and they express, hey, I'm having this problem either in the bedroom or with my spouse or with my partner, fix it. What are some of your favorite things to kind of ask them to identify what might be actually happening versus what they actually came in for?
Yeah. One of my favorite curious questions, I guess, that I will pose often in my professional and personal life is what is it that led you to the conclusion that right now is the time that this needs to be addressed?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because that can open up so much curiosity, right? Like what was it that led me to know that right now is the time that this is what I need to do?
Well, it's funny that usually that one instance is not the end all be all of the trauma that they're experiencing. It's just the straw that broke the camel's back.
Exactly. Exactly. And really lending space for, again, going back to that word, that curiosity, right? Lending space to curiosity to be able to find what it is, because more often than not, and I don't know, Bill, if you would agree, but more often than not, I would say that people come in requesting, you know, services for something, and it turns out that it's something completely different once we start to be curious and explore and discover different things.
Do you kind of set the stage by letting clients know that we might end up in a different place than you expect?
I do. I do. In especially saying, you know, like, let's take sex therapy, for example, you know, like saying that, like, this is an experience that is happening in our bodies. And so everything that's going on in the body is relevant information. And so oftentimes we might end up on a different path, but just know that, that if this is what's coming up in your body and this is what's coming up in our sessions, then this is the direction that we need to be going in. And more often than not, we will end up circling back around and that person will be able to connect all of those dots for themselves.
So how do you get a client to pay attention to their bodies? There's so many people who just are so detached from that.
I guess I'm drawn to the person that I just spoke about working with earlier, because one question that I like to ask in session, and now I'm a little bit more careful about it, is if I notice that there's something happening for that person, calling it out. Like, I notice something is happening for you. I'm wondering what that feels like in your body right now. Now I'm much more, I still like to ask it, but I do like to pay attention to the response of the individual, because I have noticed that there are some people who kind of pull back from that question. I guess lending more curiosity to pulling back from that question. And there are some people who will lean right into that question. Because this individual had also told me, you know, specifically with that question, they said that yes, it made sense why I was asking that question. However, there was this resistance in their body to pull away from that question because they weren't ready to be in their body at that moment with that information.
But I think one of the problems for those of us who are totally blind, we don't have the body language, but boy, for some reason, I'm able to pick up the voice. Just the way people are saying things or the pauses or whatever, I know something is going on. And that's when the time to, you know, to ask that question. And, you know, in terms of a curious way, you know, trying to get their curiosity tuned to their method of expressing what's going on in them.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely, Bill. And that reminds me of sessions that I've done completely over the phone, where I didn't have those visual cues, right? Or even going from in-person to virtual, where you don't you have a face in front of you, you don't have the rest of the body.
Exactly.
And really relying on all of the pieces, not just the body language.
Right.
So that's a very good point, Bill.
Right. And of course, it surprises the hell out of people when we do that. but that's what we have to do. Yeah. And I think that, you know, in our training, whether we realize it or not, we're paying attention not just to the body. We think we are paying attention to the body, but we're paying attention to everything about them if we're really being focused. Mm-hmm. And that can be voice, that can be whatever. Whatever they say or how they say it.
Well, the body can be so involuntary in their reactions mm-hmm. that even if we want to try to hide something, we're not very good at it unless you're trained at it and you're really focused on it. But even then, your body has natural tics and tendencies that when it's faced with a difficult situation or a question, it just reacts. And that's a beautiful thing about, you know, mental health and psychology and how our bodies and our minds and really interconnectivity works with other people is we have the gift of communication through voice, through touch, through sight, through all of these things that help bring us together. And as we finish out, Raquel, could you kind of leave our audience with something like a closing thought or an idea that they may want to take home with them and maybe address in their own lives when it comes to trauma?
Yeah. Thank you, Jonathan. I guess the things, because of the way that our conversation has gone, is going back to that, that idea of safety, readiness, and curiosity. Because I think that oftentimes we aren't ready, you know, and we try to push because there is pain, because mm-hmm. there is suffering, yeah. and because we do want to, quote, feel better, right? Right. And so that oftentimes will yeah. push us. But it's important to realize that our body also has to be ready. And so trying to cultivate and create those spaces where you can have safety to then be curious. And that isn't going to happen until we're ready.
Yeah, we can be intellectually awesome. Ready, but our emotions are not there yet.
Absolutely, 100%.
Mm. Well, thank you very much for being on our program. How can people get a hold of you if they want to talk with you?
Yeah, thank you for asking. Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure to be here. I am, again, it's Intima Couples and Sex Therapy. My name is Raquel Perez. I am on all the social medias. So Raquel.intima, YouTube handle, Facebook handle, Instagram handle, all the same. And my email, which is Raquel@intimacounseling.com.
Very cool. Yeah, we'll have all those in the show notes so that if you guys need to get a hold of her, want to get a hold of her, you can absolutely do that. We just barely scratched the surface on yeah. all these conversations. And I know from our conversation in our pre-show interview, we talked for like an hour right. and we still didn't even... And so I can't wait to have you back on the show because you're a wealth of information. It'll be so much fun. But if you guys have any questions or future questions, you can give us a call at 720-712-8856, or you can email us at feedback@aftersight.org. And this upcoming few sessions, we're actually going to be diving into the world of addiction and the 12-step program. And we're going to take a look at every single step in this journey and just seeing what they actually mean. And this doesn't necessarily have to be for people who are struggling with addiction, but these are really good tools for general over your life. They're really great tools and things that you can do to enhance your life. Bill, any final thoughts as we wrap this up?
Yeah. My final thought is, you know, when we talk about trauma, we're talking about a wide issue. And part mm-hmm. of the job is to be curious, you know, has there been trauma in my life that I'm willing to recognize? And then explore it in your own mind and say, am I ready to look at it? Lucella said, you know, this is something we have to be ready to do, but you don't need to carry that stuff around. Mm. And that's what we're inviting people to say, look, I don't have to be in pain anymore. Mm. And that's an important gift that we can give. That can be our post-Christmas gift, to say, I don't have to put up with that anymore.
Love it.
Thank you.